Hams to you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, boys. Good morning. Welcome to the Hockey Guys.
With a little mix from the Bottle Barn this morning, and I had a story on Wilson that came up, but we'll save that for the last segment, Jeff.
Well, when you were at the Bottle Barn, Wilson and I were here at 7 a.m. drinking our beverages, preparing for the show. So we're ready for this.
You guys went
production.
You guys went back to prep school?
That back to college days is probably the right way of saying that. Hey, we got Crazy Eddie, we got Coach Wilson. I am the wise one. Do we got Doc Phil with us this morning? No, he is out playing someplace somewhere. We're going to have to play the old "Where is Doc Phil this morning?" Boys, last night, upset roll all over college hockey.
It's in the news.
Ooh, coaches mad from all over the landscape of college hockey. North Dakota takes the big defeat. Clarkson University knocks off the University of North Dakota 5-2 last night. But that's not the only sad score. Minnesota Duluth takes down the mighty Minnesota Gophers 3-0. Ooh, Penn State has to come back in the third period to beat Stone Hill. Boys, what's going on the college hockey landscape?
Well, to quote Dean Wilson, there's parity in college hockey.
Yeah. You know, but Steve Halston had a good point. We talked to him, chatted with him this morning about, you know, you got the Gophers playing UND last week. Is that the Super Bowl of rivalries? They're all jacked up. Can you rebound and get yourself jacked up for the next weekend? You're at the level you should, right? But that's a big series, you know, and then both of them got tagged Friday night. And maybe, you know, Gophers celebrating the last week beating the UND, and then you know, UND didn't rebound fast enough against the Gophers.
Well, or it's early in the season. The coaches are going to make sure that nobody's guaranteed a position. They're all doing lineup changes from night to night, and nobody's secure. I'm always shocked when you come off a win why you would change anything. But well, I know the Gophers changed their lineup. UND from Friday to Saturday had a couple of lineup changes last weekend. So the question is, what's your goal? Is your goal the end of the season now? Is your goal to try to win until you get to the end of the season?
And that's a good point, Eddie, because as a former coach, if you're juggling lines in March, you're in trouble. You know, you want to see, it's all your Rubik's Cube, you're working things around, you're trying to decode it, where you can be the most productive in lines and as a team. And you got to try those things early in the year. If you don't, especially, I'll talk about UND, 15 new guys. You got to shuffle things around, see what's best, and see what's going to work, who's going to be consistent, who's going to perform. So I think it's good shuffling lines early in the year.
And I don't know that Minnesota's in any different boat. I think they have 13 new players in their lineup. So, yeah, the big one, Jeff, NCHC actually fared almost perfect last night. So you did see the Denver big over Boston College. Boston College may be getting tired of playing Denver.
Yeah, they better be.
Not only can they not beat them in the playoffs, but now they can't seem to get them in regular season. To me, after what Denver started the year like with a loss, a little concern. But now if you take a look, all of a sudden Denver's 3-1-1. So Denver 7, Boston College 3, to me, jumped off here pretty good.
You know what jumped off with regard to that game, Eddie, is you take a look at who scored the points for Denver. They're equal all over their forward lines. There isn't one player like Gavin McKinnon who scored two goals for Penn State or scored a goal and had a primary assist in the third period to allow Penn State to come out with a 3-2 win in the third period over Stone Hill. Denver had equal scoring over all four lines. That was very, very impressive.
But a 2-1-8er in there in Polkamp.
Yeah. Yeah, he had his goal. But you know what? The other game I think that was just as important for the NCHC as Denver knocking off BC is, I think, Western Michigan 5-2 over Michigan. Hey, Your Northern Minnesota
218ers.
218ers, Grant Selinski. How do you pronounce that? Selinski. Two goals, one assist, 3 points in the victory. His brother Hampton saved 26 out of 28 shots.
A split weekend because
I was just going to say they split.
Michigan won on Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken.
They did.
Hey, I'm keeping track of the players that left North Dakota via the portal last year. Jaden Perron, who plays for Michigan, in 6 games, 2 goals, 3 assists for a total of 5 points. You take a look at Connecticut, 8, BU, Boston University, 1. Or excuse me, yeah. Connecticut knocked off Boston University, but Owen McLaughlin, who transferred from North Dakota, had 2 goals in that game for BU. In 8 games, McLaughlin, 4 goals, 3 assists for a total of 7 points. That's some scoring that has left this year off the North Dakota roster.
Here's one for you, Jeff, just food for thought. I was looking at Samlin's roster from Duluth, right? 4 guys from Hermantown, okay? Tell me those guys aren't roommates, go out for pizza at night, go over to Sandlin's house for porchetta. They're all from the range, you know. And the reason I bring that up is about this movement, open portal, about loyalty, sticking together with your teammates. And I just smile when I saw 4 guys from Hermantown that are playing for the Bulldogs.
Oh, 100%. It's the culture. And you take a look at some of the post-game comments for Penn State, Guy Gadowski, still trying to find our identity. Boston University head coach, embarrassing, playing losing hockey. It wasn't the worst loss for BU in the past 4 years. North Dakota beat him 7-2 in the Ralph Engelstad Arena in 2022. University of Maine's head coach. Hey, we have a culture issue going on here, right? So you have a lot of coaches that are pulling hair out this morning, frustrated, trying to find what kind of team do we have this year? I mean, do we have players competitive? Do they like winning? Do we like losing? I know you two. You hated losing. Every game you went in to play, I don't care if it was running the 400-yard dash. Eddie, did you ever run that race or Wilst run the 100 to come in second? You know?
You don't play a game to come in second.
My wife gets mad at me at Christmas because she always wants to play these little games. You know, I can't play because I want to beat everybody, my kids, my grandkids. It's all about winning it, you know?
You got to let the grandkids win.
But, Eddie, you said something last year I really liked about you could feel when certain coaches lose that locker room. And you got to grab that locker room right out of the chutes. Right out of the chutes, if a team bonding, how do you make it? You know, it's the name in the front, not the name on the back. But you said last year, and I like that, you lose that locker room. And I think it was we talked about the Maple Leafs, Toronto, where pro team, where guys are fighting on the bench. That's unacceptable.
Say, before we give it to Eddie for some thank yous, we're going to have J.F. Hooley, the head coach of Clarkson University, on in our next period. Going to be a great interview. Hang in there. Come back and listen to us. Eddie, thanks some people.
Hey, this period sponsor, Hams Beer. Hams is still brewed in that true family tradition using the purest water and the choicest barley, grain, and hop. So, hey, cheers to you. And, Wils, that's probably as quick as I've seen you go through that third one. You're probably set up and ready for the next one, so you don't want to miss Wils when he gets a couple of tilts on. He might give you a rendition of the Blues Brothers.
We'll be back. With more of the Hockey Guys with Clarkson University head coach J.F. Hooley right after this. Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. We have the pleasure, the absolute pleasure, to visit with one of the top coaches in college hockey. Tell you what, you knocked off the Mighty Sioux last night, Coach. Coach J.F. Hooley from Clarkson University. Thank you for joining the Hockey Guys this morning.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, I take a look at your where you've been in coaching. You've been All over. You started your career initially at Clarkson, and then you did some pro coaching, and now you made your way back to your team that you started it all off as a player and a coach. Tell us, how's your first year going this year, Coach?
Good, good. Really, you know, happy with our, with the year we had last year. This this starting season, we've had some ups and downs. You know, we have a very young group here, so just trying to you know, to establish the way we want to play here early on, and you know, it's for sure going to take a little bit of time. But we like the group that we have. I think they're buying in and what we're trying to do here at Clarkson.
Coach, we have Coach Hull, from Clarkson University. We have a caller who's a big Clarkson University fan. Would you be willing to take his call?
Absolutely.
Go ahead, caller.
Thanks, Coach. This is Drew from Memphis, Tennessee. I've been following your school for a while and your progress. My question is, you probably don't get all the blue chip talent that you want. So how do you develop the talent, and how do you get them to that next level, like we saw last night where you beat the Sioux handily?
Well, I think for us in our recruiting process, it's important to get character kids. You know, we want character kids that are willing to put forth the effort and compete. And, you know, if you get those types of kids, then hopefully, you know, with them being here, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, we can help them, you know, develop some important skills to make it to the pros. But it all starts with making sure they have good character and that they're coachable. Getting coachable kids are very important. And, yeah, we don't get those blue chips, but we still get some good talented players here at Clarkson. Being close to the Canadian border sure helps for us.
Drew, thank you for your call. Coach Wills.
Hey, this is Dean Wills. I'm a good Canadian boy on this staff here. I got to go, hey, ça va bien, très bien?
Oh, I like your French. That's pretty good.
Well, my mother's French, so when your mother's French, you got to speak French, right? But
yeah. Wilson's dad thought his mom was pretty good.
But getting back to hockey, you know, I just think, you know, I was thinking about the open portal, and you talked about it, about bringing those right guys in there, and it's gotten so competitive. The open portal, and, you know, I think it, as a coach, it's a balance about great recruiting, being obviously a strong coach, but you know, I just think of Undy. They hired a general manager now. It's all his job is to do. So just tell me your challenges about recruiting, and like I said, put you strong last night. Great win.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You know, it's not easy. We're a small school. We only have 3,000 students here at Clarkson University, and we also all our other sports are Division III, so we don't have the profit sharing that some, you know, big school that have football or basketball would have. So for us, we just, you know, we rely on, like I said, like on making sure we recruit character kids that are willing to work, and you know, that's where we're at. And it's tough for us to get those blue chip kids, but you know, we have a good coaching staff here that do their due diligence when they recruit, and for us, it's going forward, it's going to be very important to get the right people.
Coach, it's kind of fun looking at your roster because it appears there's one that matches the coach's first name that came through Lindenwood, and a couple of us were teammates of Rick Zombo. So there's a little connection, and when we get into these things, I'm in the levity. I bring it back to the world. So I see that you do have Noah that came out of Lindenwood, sophomore defenseman for your group. And then, of course, you're loaded up with some USHL guys. You've got a lot of Fargo Forest guys that came through here. So your roster's appealing to us because a lot of these players are pretty familiar to a few of us here in the Midwest.
Yeah. Before I took the job here, they recruited quite a bit in Fargo, and you know, they got some good players from the USHL. It might change a little bit now that the CHL is opening up to the doors to us. So our recruiting might change a little bit, but you know, the USHL has always been a very good feeder for college hockey, and not easy for Clarkson to get those players, but the ones that we had have done well here.
Well, you look at Tate Taylor, goal and assist last night, former Fargo Forest player Eric Bergholtz had an assist last night. visit with us a little about the two former Fargo Force players. We have a lot. Fargo Force is a sponsor of our show, and we love the USHL. We love the Fargo Force. Visit with us about Taylor and Burkholz.
Yep. Actually, two big pieces of our lineup, of our squad this year. Tate Taylor is an excellent player for us. He's, for the Fargo fans over there, you've seen him play. He could be exciting. He's got some skill, and he's on our power play. He's doing well. Eric Burkholz has been a competitor for us, one of our best PKer, scoring some big goals right now. He had a couple against Penn State as well, and he's got experience for us. We don't have many upperclassmen. We're pretty much we have 16 or 17 freshmen and sophomores, so that's a big for Burkholz to be one of the older guys. He's going to get some big ice time for us this year.
You know, Coach, you'd mentioned not getting blue chip players, but I take a look at this and say, you know what? Those bigger schools can get the blue chip players. Give me the players that want to win, that are willing to compete, and are willing to put it out every night to win. You know what? There's a distinction in my mind between a blue chip player and a player that wants to win and compete and do what it takes to win. To me, the big schools, Penn State, they can get those big players. Hey, I want the players that are going to compete.
Yeah, I mean, that's our philosophy here. And, it's to find the consistency in competing every night. It's not easy at this level, at the NCAA level. It's like, you only play 34 games, so every game you have to have your best game. You have two bad games, it's almost half the season, so it's... you really have to be dialed in every night, and it's something to be said about hardworking players that are blue collar and play with some grit. I think that for sure can help smaller programs win some games.
Well, we talked about the parity. That it seemed like last year very few teams would sweep, at home. Obviously you sweep up on the road, that's a good thing. But to sweep at home, it's not always easy to do. And then another thing I'm going to throw out at you, I love the idea of you got a young team that, man, you can do it the Clarkson way, your way. You train them, they become loyal and become stronger teammates. You develop good team chemistry.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's great to have a young team because you mold them the way you want and you get your culture set in. Now the trick is going to be not to lose any of these players. Last year we lost Rickwood to North Dakota. Who was our leading scorer. North Dakota came in and sweeped them, grabbed them off the portal. So for us, it's retaining the players is also going to be an important thing. And, we hope to continue and do that.
You take a look at the University of Minnesota. They've got about similar freshman, sophomore roster as you do. North Dakota similar. And you can go right down a bunch of the top, quote, named top teams in the country have young teams. And we've talked about it here and bantered back and forth about how do you teach these guys to be competitive every night, give it their all every night. How, from a coaching perspective, do you address that issue as a coaching staff to teach these young men to want to be winners and not just be average?
Yeah, no, it's it's part of being a coach. Every player is different in my book. Like you guys said earlier, I've been coaching everywhere in North America, pretty much in every league that there is. And, it will never change. Like, every player is different. Some of them you have to push. Some of them you have to pull. Some of them you have to have stern conversation with. Some of them you have to give them some positive reinforcement. So every player is different.
Well, Coach Houle from Clarkson University, tell you what, thank you for joining the Hockey Guys tonight, and have another great game.
Thank you. Really appreciate tonight. The time.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Très bien.
Yeah, nice French. Love it. See you guys.
Yes.
Bye now.
This period is sponsored by Citywide Electric, experience you can trust for design, repair, and installation of any home or business electrical project. That's Citywide Electric, ND. fargoforce.com. We also appreciate the Fargo Force, Dakota Refrigeration, and Carpet World. So, Jeff, we'll be back here on the Hockey Guys and open lines to have some feedback on some games last night.
701-293-9000. Tyrell, thank you for the shout-out. You're listening to the Hockey Guys. Crazy Eddie, what's on your mind?
You know, let's go back and take a look at the psychology of hockey. And right now, can you imagine how many coaches are probably seeing their mental coach? And you're only eight games in, and you're sitting here saying, wow, what's going to happen? And, of course, we don't talk about the portal, but I think, Jeff, this is setting up. I think I had mentioned it before we came on as I walked in 2 minutes before to get ready. This is setting up almost 180 degrees different for the Big Ten this year, and that's where the NCHC was last year. If you take a look at what's happening, you know, you had Ohio State, I think, went down, and Ohio State goes down to an Atlantic East team. So you're
Merrimack knocks off Quinnipiac 4-1. Sacred Heart beat Ohio State.
So all of a sudden, it'll be kind of fun to see when you take a look at how this will affect the so-called end of the year. Because, again, as we heard last week, there's really not a large change to the pairwise, even though they restructured it, Jeff, correct?
That's correct. You know what? Steve Hallstrom, the legendary sports broadcaster and the voice of the Steve Hallstrom Show on 1100 AM, he came in and visited with us about both North Dakota and the Gophers, and he said he wasn't surprised that both teams lost on Friday night, coming off that big weekend series last week at the Ralph Engelstad Arena. Everyone's focused on it, right? And then there's some type of mental letdown after that split. And both of them took it on the chops last night with losses. The one thing that really surprised me, though, is the Gophers only had, let me get my beer.
Their shots on goal have not been very good.
Notes. You gave me the cup that you were going to give Wills because there was a hole poked with a pen on the bottom of it.
That's just
so my hams were all over the table. But
that's just for you to keep up to Wills.
Yeah. But you take a look at the Duluth. Minnesota had 17 shots last night against the Duluth goaltender. North Dakota last night had 20 shots against Clarkson's goaltender, okay? And you cannot win a college game nowadays with the open play and the open flow back and forth with just 17 shots and 20 shots. And here's the other thing. Well, hey, shout out to Strinden, who picked up the goal last night. Sam Lorella picked up the assist. Max Swanson, former Fargo Force player, as well as Sam Luella from Moorhead and the former Fargo Force player, picked up the assist. But North Dakota, there were 29 shots put on the North Dakota goaltender last night. North Dakota saved 24 of them. You cannot win, I don't care at what level. The goaltender, the defensive play from the defenseman, the forwards getting back, clearing out in front of the net, allowing the goaltender to see the puck, you have to stop 9 out of 10 shots to win a game in college hockey. You cannot make 4 out of 5 saves and think you're going to win. It's just not going to happen.
There's many factors on that, Jeff, and I like the thought. You know, we talk about shots now because that was always my favorite thing when people in the stands come out. You got to tell your guys to shoot, Margo. Man, can I write that down? Can I write that down? Never thought of that. But there's many factors. Are you getting too pretty, too fancy? Okay. Two is the team you're playing against playing great defense. And you talked about 1 out of 10 shots or whatever. I remember a long time ago learning that you're playing good teams. Every fourth or fifth shot could be a goal if you're not defense blocking shots, right? So there's a lot of factors involved about taking shots. And I remember Steve Johnson played at UND. I remember him. You know, he taught his guys shoot from anywhere. I'd go, don't take a crap shot from the corner. He said, any shot on net from any angle, it's a good shot on net.
100%.
To Coach Wilson, I'm going to back up. UND goes out and plays a team from the north. and they look like they're going to have the greatest power play in the world. They go out and they play a team that's trying to get into their level. I've always suggested to parents, your kid's a great scorer against a team that doesn't have good defense. Why doesn't he score against a team with a great defense? And I think as fans, we watch every game and say, well, the power play is clicking. What happened to North Dakota's power play against Minnesota? It was non-existent.
0-6, right?
How about the Gophers' first power play goal against UND last week? I swear there was 5 assists off it.
That so, wasn't, but
boom,
no.
Boom, boom, boom,
so,
in.
Yeah, North Dakota now is 1 out of 11 on the power play. And that's tough to win. You got
so I'm going to go back here. That when you take a look,
teams,
when you take a look, and here's the part that I think is kind of fun when we're going to have this discussion. The coaches are all sitting here talking about all the player changes. Name a program that has the same 3 coaches for the last 5 years in college hockey.
I don't know.
That was actually having a drink of my beverage. What was that question? And I'll name them off.
Name a team that has had the same 3 coaches on the bench in college hockey for the last 5 years.
Ooh, Denver.
Have they not changed their assistants?
I don't believe so. Duluth,
Yes.
Change assistants.
So I'm just suggesting, we're listening to coaches talk about...
We're listening to coaches talking about the change in players,
but if you're a player, how do you have a coaching change and understand how you fit in the system?
But I think if you're hiring the right assistants, you want them to have their expectations of being the next head coach at either your program or somewhere. So I think that's always a compliment. I think I counted one time 11 guys that were my assistants over the years became head coaches. And I like that because they're strong hockey minds. They're a great addition and great for your staff.
You talk about block shots. Last night, North Dakota had 21 block shots by their defensemen and forwards. Clarkson only had 10.
That sounds to me like you're under stress and you're in the foxhole and you're trying to figure out how
not. You're diving all over the place, right? So, yeah, block shots are vitally important. You take a look at the shots on net that Clarkson did get. They had 29 shots, as I mentioned previously.
50 attempts.
So there is, you know what? You can't score unless you shoot the puck. And who has been, over the last 3 years, the college team that has put the most shots on net in the game throughout the whole year? Penn State. Led the nation in shots on goal.
Don't we call that...
And shots attempt.
Don't we call that North South hockey? Wills, isn't that what you refer to that? Hey, let's get up ice.
But another stat was UND's defenseman had the highest rating of blocking shots, and that's just... To me, that's good defensive coaching, too. You know, it's not a knock of a negative thing.
And a little shout-out, St. Cloud State went up and did what they should have done against a team that hasn't won a game this year, but they got 5 points on the board, but now... The expectation is every game they play, they need to get 5 points. I venture to guess when they get into the NCHC, they may not have games that are 5 goal games.
You know, another team, that Saratori, you know, with Air Force, they're averaging about 5 or 6 goals against a game, you know. You know, and you're at that level. Can you blame goaltending? Maybe you can. You know, I mean, I was in high school, I always blamed poor defensive coverage or whatever, and yet we had a soft goalie, you know, it's at that level. But in college, is the goaltending killing him and biting him? Is that his Achilles at Air Force?
Well, you know, with the new weight restrictions and being in shape in the military, you don't have the 6'7", 350-pound goalie that takes up 90% of the space anymore. Your goaltender shrunk to 210.
I was sitting last night, and I thought, I got to be careful, but we may have to have Coach Saratori's on because there's a lot of rumblings about all the activity within sports with how – I want to know what their over-under on their personal side was when one gave up 11 and one gave up 12.
Too soon, man.
you can ask that question.
We don't want to be with basketball.
But, you know, you look at Boston University – number 4, the 4th ranked team in the country. In non-conference play, they're 2 wins, 3 losses, and 1 tie.
That's not helping them.
That is, you know, the NCHC is with the non-conference schedule this year more than any is getting the benefits of this new system of ranking the teams that even the director of officiating of the NCHC, Mike Schmidt, said he can't explain.
Duluth is too.
Hey, Providence, St. Thomas, 2-2 in overtime tie. The first game played in St. Thomas at the Lee Penny and Arena. Penny Anderson Arena. Congrats to
by
St.
The way,
Thomas.
By the way, when you see that name Penny, here we are removing pennies from the financial system, and they named their rink Penny.
Well, it's after his lovely wife, and so, hey.
Well, you got to name it quarter, Eddie? Dime?
You got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I did like, of all the things that we heard from Coach Hull, and I'm going to go way back because there's a company that's pretty close that I grew up in the town of. I liked his word, profit sharing. I mean, he should actually say, hey. So he didn't talk about NIL money. He didn't talk about alumni money. He didn't talk about profit sharing. I love that term this morning.
Well, I love it because he says, all coaches go there against open portal unless Gretzky's coming to your school.
Yeah.
So we'll be back after this period break, and this one is sponsored by Gateway Chevrolet, where you can save big on a Chevy, Silverado, Equinox, or Blazer. Go online at FargoChevrolet.com. So, Jeff, what are you going to come up with for a question for Mr. Wilson for the final period of our show?
Well, I think we should have a caller, 701-293-9000, 701-293-9000.
Explain last night's loss by North Dakota for us.
And we'll be back with the hockey guys right after this.
Trunk or treat with the grandkids last night. So to the boys and girls in the family, hey, it was fun to see the lion and the princess and I don't know. They had all kinds of costumes on. It was pretty fun.
I was at Costco and I bought three big bags of candy and we're on a cul-de-sac. My wife goes, no one ever comes here. Why you got three big bags of chocolate? You don't want to run out. How rude would that be?
It'll be gone before Halloween.
I'm like a chipmunk ready for winter.
You know, it's going to be interesting tonight, boys. You take a look at the teams last night, and I'll read them off. North Dakota, Ohio State, Quinnipiac, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota Gophers, Augustana, BU. Who is going to step up their game and come out with the victory? That's the real question. Are they going to find their identity? Are the coaches going to say like they did last night, it was embarrassing playing losing hockey? It's a culture issue amongst the team. If you just go through the coaches' post-game comments of the teams I've mentioned, they're a big disappointment. The question is, who's going to have the fire lit under their tails tonight and get out and actually flip it around?
There's two teams that I'm going to put out. Duluth and Denver. We'll be talking about them in April. When you take a look at what Duluth did over the last 3 years, I don't know that there's a team in the country that has matched what has happened there. You go through a rebuild, you come out, you're now 6-1. One of the best records in college hockey. So, and again, Jeff, we've been talking about it. I don't know that there's a lot of movement, a couple of things, but didn't get caught up. I don't see that level of portal exchange of other teams. Denver, very similar, right? So Duluth and Denver are my two teams I'm watching.
But, you know, as a former coach again, to explode and share that with everybody in the world about you're having a culture or a locker room problem, that is at its infancy. I think it's just too early to share with everybody. And you sit down. Every year that I coach, every year you coach, your team takes on a personality as a group. And you get good leaders. Who's taking charge in that locker room? I've always said this. A good leader, a good captain could be better than an assistant coach, maybe even better than the head coach of grabbing control in that locker room. And I just think it's too early to you're throwing over lawn chairs to save the Titanic. I mean, come on, guys. Grab it here and work through those problems.
Minnesota, Duluth, if they could pull off that victory against the Gophers tonight, will help the NCHC so huge when it comes to the standings and who gets into the Sweet 16 for college hockey. Likewise, Denver is going to be a huge, huge game.
But they have Northeastern tonight, so they're a little kind of fun because there's some pretty decent interleague games that are going to go on here. So, that's another big one for the NCHC tonight. I mean, they went from Boston College to Northeastern. So if you take a look, they're not doing a – Boston College only wanted to play one game against them. Earlier I alluded to Boston College is getting tired of Denver. They scheduled one game, right? Think about the psychology of the game of college athletics. Boston College does a lot of one game against teams. Now, they do interleague stuff because that's their schedule. But again, what are the playoffs, Jeff? How many games do you get to play in the playoffs to get to that final game? One game.
Yeah, that's a good analysis. I like that, right? You got to be up, ready to play that one game, not the best out of two series. You know, the other game I'll mention is Sacred Heart, who knocked off Ohio State last night 2-1 in overtime. Here you have a Atlantic Conference team, and they're the Atlantic Conference teams, you take a look at their non-conference play.
They're coming.
They're there. That hurts the Big Ten big time.
I want to switch gears a little bit because I got to throw it out. I was watching the news about the G League in basketball, pro basketball, and now they're talking, and there was an NCAA college coach going, they're bringing these guys back down from the pros back down to college because they still have eligibility. The reason I bring it up, I'll just make it an example. Newfoundland Prowlers, Toronto Maple Leafs farm team, okay? You're getting not $100,000 to play in that league, and all of a sudden you get called up, hey, Bradley, you got another year eligibility. Come down to Penn State. We'll pay you $600,000 to go back down to college to help us out. Is that going to trickle to the hockey world?
It already has. We actually have guys that played in the number two league playing in college hockey this year. So it's here.
The American Hockey League?
You have an American Hockey League player playing in college hockey this year.
So, to me, it's unacceptable. It's getting out of control, and NCAA, they're losing it, and they got to tidy that up, or you might as well just make it all pro.
Oh, I would love to see LeBron James go back or enroll into USC and go back with his son, Bronny. And then he can actually play with his son for a full season in college basketball.
It'd be kind of like watching the Blues Brothers act that was Reuters and Wilson on stage back at Shanley, coming from a little guy that said, hey, I might be able to get you the video on that one.
Hey, let's hear the pipes, Wills.
You know, guys, you never stay focused. I'm a soul man. People, I made a lot of money doing that, you guys. People paid me to stop.
Well, hey, what did you guys think about Coach?
One of the greatest things about the discussion that I had this morning was I said Dean Wilson is about as traveled as college coaches today because he touched every single high school in Fargo, but Moorhead never let him in.
You know, I don't know if I've ever applied at Moorhead. You know, I mean, I've had jobs. I was the bridesmaid for a few guys. I'll tell you one. I was a bridesmaid at Roseau, and this is a good story because I'm going, it's between you and Bruce Olson.
I know Bruce Olson.
Yeah, who passed
Bruce
away.
Bruce Olson was my high school coach.
You know, and it's between you two and his Gotsman, who was from Thunder Bay, the AD. So I'm pretty jacked up. Then Gotsman calls me up and goes, we got a little problem, Wilson. The 1 and 2 just got bumped 2 to 3, and I go, seriously, who was that? Who beat us out? And he goes, Dean Blazes at International Falls decided to come to Roseau. And I go, all right, I'm out. I'm out.
And you didn't attach yourself to Dean Blaze, Wills. Come on.
Hey, boys, I got to – and I neglected to mention this and talk about it with Coach Houle from Clarkson University, but Corey Lieberman, former assistant coach for the Fargo Force, was the video replay coach for Cornell last year, is now the assistant coach.
Nice job.
Under Coach Houle at Clarkson University. And we're going to bring on Coach Lieberman to talk about the progress that and the route he took to get into college college hockey in his coaching career, similar to what players did. Eddie.
So, Jeff, again, to our sponsors, Hams Beer, Beverage Wholesalers, thank you. Citywide Electric, appreciate your support of the Hockey Guys. Gateway Chevrolet, so we appreciate your involvement. And, of course, we also have our weekly sponsors, Fargo Forest, Dakota Refrigeration, and Carpet World. So, Jeff, pretty quick, we're going to have to get rolling and figure out what we're doing next Saturday. I will be out of studio, so it'll be whoever's left in.
Well, we one less hungover player, former player with us than Wills.
Yeah, we're going to miss you. Had like root canal and hemorrhoidal surgery.